What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Giants Nation Podcast. I'm your host, we already know, Justin Roman. And guys, I hope you all are having a wonderful, Saturday morning. Tomorrow, it's going to be a big week. It's going to be a big weekend for, obviously, with a lot of fan bases, a lot of teams that are still in the playoff bracket. You know, there's going to be four teams playing tomorrow, and they're going to be, you know, it's going to be two teams left, and those two teams we will see in the Super Bowl in Phoenix, Arizona. This was a weird playoff. You know, this postseason was very weird. There was a lot of great, you know, there was, you know, it was weird, but it was very enjoyable to see, you know, quarterbacks that no one expected us to be in the postseason. Seeing guys like Trevor Lawrence, seeing guys like Daniel Jones, Justin Herbert, guys like that to be in the postseason. You know, so, you know, it was very, you know, it was exciting and boring at the same time to see new faces in the playoffs. You know, obviously we're taking a huge turn in the NFL as the younger generation is starting to make their arise in the NFL, you know, and it's only going to get better, especially with free agency and the offseason and the draft, you know, so, yeah. But guys, today, I'm here to talk Giants football, and I'm not really gonna get into the Joe Shane, Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, situation. I'm actually on here to, you know, take it easy, and I'm just gonna talk about my six of the end of the season awards, you know, for the New York Giants playmakers, you know. And look, here's why. I usually don't do things like this, but you know, I thought this was a very good season, probably one of the best seasons any Giants fan can have, including myself, to watch this team go into a season that no one expected. You know, no one expected, not even me. You know, I didn't expect this team to go into the season and win 9 games and go to the playoffs and even win a playoff game. I thought we were going to lose, you know, but, you know, we didn't, you know, so this was a very exciting and fun year, you know, no one expected us to go to the Super Bowl, you know. This is a team that was being driven by a head coach in Brian Daboll who for one can coach and for two, he can help a team get better, you know. It's only going to get better as the off season is going to begin. You know, I'm hoping we can keep Mike Kafka and Don Wink Martindale. Obviously, those two guys are. Obviously, with the success those two guys have brought to the Giants, they're getting a lot of head coaching interviews. I'm hoping the Giants can, hopefully, those guys come back, you know, and if they don't, I will update you guys on other, you know, head coaching candidates the Giants can bring in to fill those roles for the Giants, to fill those positions for the G-men. But this was a fun year, you know, and a crazy year. And I think the Giants, the New York Giants, are going to make a lot of noise, make more noise going into the 2023 and 24 season. You know, I'm very excited for the future. John Mara has finally changed the culture for this team and the fan base, you know. This was a fun year, you know, and there was games that I didn't expect us to win. I didn't expect us to beat the Baltimore Ravens. I didn't expect us to beat the Green Bay Packers, you know, but this Giants team can play, you know. Obviously, a lot of Giants fans are hoping that Saquon Barkley can come back, because I'm not trying to bring up this entire conversation again. You know, I've been talking about Joe Shane and him trying to bring back Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley for the past week. You know, we're gonna see how everything plays out. You know, the Giants, you know, Daniel Jones was very, you know, look at Daniel Jones was very, look at, I'm not going to make a decision. I'm not going to pick sides or favorites on who I thought had the better year. I thought Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley balled out this season. I thought both of these guys did what they were supposed to do. And obviously there's a lot of pressure going on both of these guys going into the season. A lot of people didn't think Daniel Jones was going to ball out. And it's very understandable. You're going into a new system. You're playing for a new coach once again. You know, and it gets tough. You know, and Saquon Barkley, no one thought Saquon Barkley was going to perform the way he did. You know, because of the torn ACL. And those injuries are hard to come back from. You know, I was the one. I wasn't agreeing with all the critics. I was actually the one that came on here. And I said, I think Saquon Barkley is going to he's going to prove everyone wrong. And that's what he did. You know, now Joe Shane has a big decision to make. Because he declined Daniel Jones' fifth-year option because no one believed in this guy, you know, until now. Not only did Daniel Jones win you games, but he won you a playoff game. Now, obviously, Daniel Jones, his fifth-year option is not going to be that expensive. Now, I'm hearing it's going to be around $30 to $40 million. That's easy, you know, because the Giants are going to have the second biggest cap hit going into this offseason. So you can keep Daniel Jones, but can you keep Saquon Barkley? And that's the biggest question, because Saquon Barkley, he makes this offense go down the field and score points, you know? So that's the biggest fish in the sea right now. You know, can we lock up Saquon? And if we can, how much money is he going to get? I'm assuming Saquon Barkley, he wants something around the 14, 15 millions, because he doesn't want to reset the running back market. You know, but the amount of money he wants, it's not going to be cheap. So I think it's going to be, obviously, according to what Saquon Barkley says, he wants Christian McCaffrey-like money. So around $16, $17 million. So how's Joe? But like I said, you know, it's that solution. That's the one solution the Giants can do. Maybe they can figure out some way to free up some cap space and pay Saquon. Or it's either that or they're going to let Saquon walk in free agency. And Joe Shane, and I talked about this before, Joe Shane has shown all of us that he can make tough decisions. Decisions that he doesn't want to make. He did it with the James Bradbury situation, where he didn't want to get rid of James Bradbury, but he had to because the Giants were in a big, they were in a big financial mess, and they couldn't, you know, they couldn't keep all the players that they wanted to keep because they had to pay the rookies that they drafted. So those are, you know, that scares me because I don't want Saquon Barkley to end up in free agency, because I have a good feeling that no one's going to pick him up, because running backs are not common. You know, people don't, you know, the NFL, they don't care about running backs like they used to. It's all about the quarterback now. So I'm very interested in seeing what Joe Shane's going to do here, you know. But enough said of that. It's time for me to talk about, you know, my six end of the season awards for the New York Giants playmakers. You know, so look it. Obviously, for the first time since 2016, the Giants made the playoffs, and fans were thrilled with how things went throughout the campaign. It finally seems like this franchise is heading in the right direction, and that is, you know, in most part due to the stars of the team stepping up in a big way. A lot of love is going to Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, and it rightfully so. However, we can't forget about the guys donning jerseys who recorded some head-turning performances throughout the year. With this in mind, you know, we felt like it was the right time to hand out, you know, look it. I felt like it was the right time to hand out some end of the season honors, with six guys on my list being more than deserving of these honors. You know, so let's start with number one, shall we? Number one, I got tight end Daniel Bellinger. You know, it's been a long time since the Giants actually have had. I mean, other than Evan Engram, this kid is a rising star. I mean, the Giants haven't had a good tight end since their last Super Bowl run. You know, but look it, I got Daniel Bellinger, and here's why. It's been a pretty good ride for Daniel Bellinger this season. This is a guy who went from a fourth round pick that could potentially be playing behind Ricky Seals-Jones to the undoubted tight end number one of the Giants, who just wrapped up a very solid rookie season. Through 12 games, this guy, Daniel Bellinger, racked up 30 catches on 33 targets for 269 yards and 2 touchdowns. In addition to this, Daniel Bellinger also had a tremendous season as a blocker, which is something the Giants drafted him to be. You know, according to PFF, Bellinger had a run blocking grade of 61.5, which ranks 20th among all tight ends in the entire league. That's not bad. Considering where he was selected in the draft, Bellinger's stats would be even better if he wasn't forced to miss 4 consecutive games due to an eye injury he sustained against the Jaguars in Week 7. Look it. Year 2 for this guy should be something special for Bellinger, you know, who will not only be utilized more as a receiver, but he will only get better as a blocker. Joe Shane could not have done a better job with his selection of Daniel Bellinger. Not only did he, you know, exceed expectations as a pass catcher, but his blocking was key. And that's something the Giants have struggled at the tight end position, finding a tight end who can block, you know. Hats off to Daniel Bellinger. It's not very often you see a fourth round pick to be a big time impact player in their rookie season, but the future is very bright for the 22-year-old. So, Daniel Bellinger, he's number one on my list. Number two, I got defensive pass rusher Kayvon Thibodeau. And look at, even though a lot of Giants fans were not pleased with this pick by Joe Shane, but we needed a pass rusher. We got rid of Lorenzo Carter. We needed someone to take over that position, and we got it. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau, you know, starting the season he started off a little rough. But ending the year, I thought he ended the year pretty good. You know, look it. Since being selected 5th overall in the 2022 NFL Draft, this kid has been an absolute monster for the Giants defense, making him the obvious choice for the Defensive Rookie of the Year award. You know, look it, in 14 games, Thibodeau racked up 43 combined tackles, 4 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, including one he took back for a touchdown, and 40 pressures. He may not have put up as many sacks as fans would have liked him to do, but he did so much more than just putting up basic box score stats. This kid was all over the field all season long, making plays in the run game, even gathering some impressive tackles at the second level. Alongside this, Thibodeau made tons of plays while rushing the quarterback without getting the sack. The hustle and effort Thibodeau showcased this season makes us excited to see what he has to show in the coming years. Not only has he, you know, proven all of those who wrongfully doubted his commitment to football wrong, but he also showed that he is going to be a star in this league, and all of his haters are just going to have to sit at home and watch him succeed. I feel like Kayvon Thibodeau and Azeez Ojulari are going to wreak havoc on opposing offensive lines for years, considering how many people doubted Thibodeau as a bust prior to his selection or criticized him for his personality. Fans have to be pleased with how he has turned out early on in his career. So, Kayvon Thibodeau, you, my friend, are number two on my list. Number three. We already know it's running back Saquon Barkley. Look at it. It was such a fun season to watch Saquon Barkley. I was very happy for him, you know, seeing how much praise he got going into the season. You know, he has my vote for Comeback Player of the Year. You know, just seeing what he's done this year, showing the leadership he has shown on the field, in the locker room, in practice, he has been tremendous. The Saquon Barkley I saw this year was the Saquon Barkley I saw in year one. The Saquon Barkley that would show up in big time moments, you know. And not only that, but Saquon Barkley, he played a full season. He didn't miss one game. So it was such a fun year to watch this guy, who not only made his second career Pro Bowl, but also set a new career high in rushing yards. This guy was the straw that stirred the drink for the Giants offense during the first half of the campaign. You know, this guy ran the ball 295 times for, you know, 1,312 yards and 10 touchdowns, while also catching the ball 57 times for 338 yards in 16 games. While Barkley's season did slow down a bit, you know, as the year went on, this was mostly due to a very apparent shoulder injury he suffered against the Packers alongside a potential neck injury. Many were unsure of either or not Barkley would return to his old level. However, Barkley made that crowd awfully quiet when in week one of the season, he ran the ball 18 times for 164 yards and a touchdown. Ever since then, it was a domination week after week. You know, it was domination week after week. And many are excited to see what the future holds for the 25-year-old, regardless of hopefully the Giants don't get rid of him. Regardless of either or not the Giants decide to resign the two-time Pro Bowler, we know he will dominate the league for the foreseeable future. So, Saquon Barkley, you are number three on my list. Number four, I got defensive tackle Dexter Lawrence. And why, you know, and it shouldn't be a surprise. This guy he is clearly going to be one of the best defensive tackles for the future as well. You know, this guy, he kind of reminds me of Kenny Clark. But I think Dexter Lawrence, he could be better than Kenny Clark. You know, I got Dexter Lawrence as my number four player on my list. And here's why. After three seasons of being one of the more solid and dependable defensive tackles in the league, Lawrence emerged as a superstar this year, dominating every opponent he faced. Lawrence was not only the best defensive player on the Giants this season, but he was also one of the best leaders, making a massive impact both on and off the field. You know, in 16 games, Lawrence racked up 61 combined tackles, 9 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 7 tackles for loss, and an incredible 63 pressures, making both a Pro Bowl and a second team All-Pro this season. Lawrence was, you know, this guy was the definition of dominant this campaign, you know, which is exactly what the Giants needed, considering the amount of holes they have on defense. Wink Martindale did a tremendous job at unlocking the potential Lawrence had and turning him into one of if not the best player at his position. It would be nice if the mainstream media would realize how talented Lawrence is and the impact he had on this Giants defense, because it sure seems like the argument could be made that this guy deserves to be on the All-Pro first team as opposed to the second team. An extension should be coming soon for this guy. So, Dexter Lawrence, you are number 4 on my list. Number five. I got offensive lineman Nick Gates. Now, here's why. While originally it seemed like Saquon Barkley would be the choice for comeback player of the... It seemed like Saquon Barkley would be the choice. You know, he still is for me, you know, for comeback player of the year. And you can certainly make the argument that Saquon Barkley deserves it. Everything Nick Gates has been through makes it easy for him to be honored here. You know, obviously with everything we saw Nick Gates go through, you know, with that nasty injury, we thought his career was over with. You know, this guy comes back and he goes into the season with so much confidence, you know, and he balls out and he shows belief in his teammates. And I think that's what, you know, I feel like that's what a true champion does. Honestly, Gates simply coming back as fast as he did from the injury he suffered may have been enough for him to earn this award. However, this guy both came back and was a positive player on the Giants offensive line for the majority of his season. You know, in 229 pass blocking snaps, Gates only allowed 10 pressures and 1 sack, earning a pass blocking grade of 69.3, according to PFF, which is the second highest on the Giants' offensive line. Gates certainly wasn't perfect, but he is going to get better as his leg continues to heal and he develops more as a player. So, Nick Gates, you're number 5 on my list. And number 6, guys. Look it. This is a guy that I've been praising for, you know, this is a guy that I've been fighting for the last 5 years. And this is a guy that will get his money and he will be a New York Giant, you know, for the foreseeable future. Ladies and gentlemen, quarterback, aka Danny Dimes. Daniel Jones. He's gonna be the number 6 player on my list. And here's why. With all the talk with, ooh, do the Giants have their quarterback? The answer is yes. Do the Giants have their franchise quarterback? The answer is yes. Did the Giants have a quarterback that can take them to the Super Bowl? The answer is yes. But Daniel Jones has shown all of us, first of all, he's vastly improved. And what he's shown all of us, and it's something I've been saying for the past, when the Giants made the playoffs, what Daniel Jones has shown all of us is that if you can give me good coaching and you give me the pieces that I need, I can be a star in this league. And that's what he has shown. This guy, he has been he's been very responsible for what he's, you know, for his own actions. You know, like Daniel Jones, he started rising up, you know, when he threw that crucial interception against the Tennessee Titans. Brian Daboll, he yapped at Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones comes out of nowhere and takes his team down the field and they win the game. And ever since then, Daniel Jones was a different quarterback. You know, he wasn't the guy that would turn the ball over. You know, he was a guy that wasn't very hesitant in the pocket. He was very decisive. And if he saw an opportunity to get his team into the end zone, That's what he did. And that's what good coaching does. Coaches don't yell at you to put you down. They yell at you because they want you to be successful. And that's what Brian Daboll's done. And that's why Brian Daboll's a great... That's why he should be a head coach of the year candidate. You know? But look it. And I'm pretty... Look it. And I'm pretty sure some people would say that's a bit of a hot take. That I'm saying that Daniel Jones should be on my list. You know, that Daniel Jones should deserve an award for what he has done, but he deserves it. I mean, look what this guy went through for the past 4 years with the media and, you know, the fan base, with other fan bases. He should deserve it. You know, this guy almost took the Giants to the Super Bowl. If the Giants would have beaten the Eagles, the Giants would still be in the playoffs. We would have ended up facing the 49ers. You know? The Giants will be back in the playoffs because I'm confident that I'm confident now. Because we have a head coach that can coach and we have a GM that can, you know, build up a roster into a championship roster. And we're in a conference that I'm assuming it's still gonna suck. And we're in a division that you never know what's gonna happen, you know? So why doesn't Daniel Jones deserve it? He deserves it, you know. He did what he was supposed to do. Take this team to the postseason. You got your head coach. You got some receivers that they're not great, but they're good enough. And you got an offensive line that's gonna get better. And look what he did. He showed that. He showed why he deserves to be in this league as a starting quarterback. He uses his legs, you know, a lot, and he makes good decisions. That's something we haven't seen Daniel Jones do, you know, ever since his rookie year, you know? And look it. There's going to be other teams out there that are going to want Daniel Jones because there's a lot of teams that need a quarterback. Teams like the Houston Texans, Carolina Panthers, who else? The Las Vegas Raiders. Teams like that, they need a quarterback. But Joe Shane, I don't think Joe Shane's going to let that happen. Joe Shane, he already said he would love to have Daniel Jones back, you know? So let's see what happens. But look it. I don't care what people say. Look it. Back to what I was saying. It's hard to say the Giants would be as good as they have been without Daniel Jones this season. Which is somewhat surprising considering how rough, you know, the first 3 years of his career were. You know? Despite this, this guy turned, I think every Giants fan would agree with me when I say this. Daniel Jones turned everything around this fall and winter as he was a key part in delivering the Giants their first playoff berth since 2016. His stats may not be the most eye-popping, but at almost every moment the Giants needed him to step up. He did. You know, this guy has five game winning drives this season. Daniel Jones completed 67.2% of his passes for 3,205 yards, 15 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. Considering how poor everything was around him, we are extremely, impressed with what this kid has shown. Not only was he sacked 44 times this season, those are the second most in his career that he's been taken down by any defense in the NFL. But for the majority of the year, this guy had a receiving core consisting of mostly practice squad players. In addition to how well Daniel Jones played through the air, he was impressive on the ground. Running the ball 120 times for 706 yards and 7 touchdowns. 708 yards and 7 touchdowns. Both Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka cooked up a perfect recipe for Daniel Jones to succeed, despite limited health. Look, it, if Saquon Barkley did not have his midseason slump, he likely would have been the easy choice. But the consistency Daniel Jones brought this season was too important not to acknowledge. Joe Shane makes the right decision to bring Daniel Jones back next season. And look, it, if you ask me, Danny Dimes deserves a long-term deal from the New York Giants general manager. He has earned it. You know? And look, I say this all the time. It's hard to win. It's hard to play sports, especially in the New York market. You know, because you got to deal with so much. You got to deal with the papers. You got to deal with the media always calling you out, talking about you. You know, it sucks. But, you know, it's New York. You know, it's New York. But I think Daniel Jones has earned... He's earned, you know, Daniel Jones, he deserves respect, you know, even though people aren't sold on this guy, he's a quarterback in this league, you know, and like, he may not be a Josh Allen, but he played better than Josh Allen in the postseason. Daniel Jones looked like Josh Allen. Josh Allen did not have a good playoffs. He did not hit. Josh Allen had a rough season in the postseason this year. He barely beat a Dolphins team that had a third string quarterback, and he lost to a Bengals team at home, which I think we should all agree the Cincinnati Bengals are they're rising up the rankings in the AFC. But yeah, those. Yeah, you know, look, I understand we're in the quarterbacks league, you know. I said something that I said a few days ago. I said the same exact thing when Daniel Jones got drafted. I'm going to give this kid a shot to show what he can do, because a lot of people were upset that Daniel Jones got drafted over Josh Allen. But Daniel Jones doesn't deserve the heat. Dave Gutterman deserves it, but clearly Dave Gutterman knew something more, and he knew something about this guy that none of us knew about. And look at everything Dave Gutterman says, it should be true, because Daniel Jones is showing that. And now Daniel Jones, he's going to get dimes. He's going to get a big payday, and I'm happy for him. And I, you know, the season's just, the future, it's just gonna be better. And I am excited. And yeah, guys, that's all I have for you today. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. You know, and those are my six end of the season awards for all the playmakers for the New York Giants this season. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. And yeah, I'll see you guys tomorrow. I'm going to be talking more Giants football. But until then, I'm out. Peace.